Today's scripture reading is found in Isaiah 55, 6 to 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
Amen. Just need to set up here. Not supposed to be saying that, but okay, where is that? That is actually in Arizona. Prescott, Arizona. Okay, that's what you should be saying. Well, good afternoon again. It's still good morning. Well, wait a second. It is there. That time is wrong. Good morning. And it's nice to see you guys again. I'm becoming sort of used to this pulpit. God has been good. I know Pastor Doris always checking with me for dates. And so I'm always joyful to come to your place, your house, and feast with you a little bit on the Word of God. It's always a joy. I want to express my utmost thanks to Pastor Doe and to you guys for your kindness that you've shown towards me over the last couple of years. And I always enjoy seeing young people participate in the service. The young lady who read the lesson, and of course my daughter who gave the special music. But every time I've come here, it's always been a good participation of the young people, so I really truly appreciate that. I know Randy asked me to introduce myself, which I thought was not anything I needed to do anymore, because I feel like I've been here quite a few times, and I even ran into Jacko and the rest of them in the park last Sabbath when we came out for a walk. And they told me they were going to Plumas Lake, and I wish I could have gone with them, but I had to be here. But as many of you know, I'm just down the road with Beth and Dr. K over there, and his wife Eileen, and some other friends from here from New Start, and we enjoy doing that, and we enjoy having the Lord use us to bless the lives of so many. And so, keep me in prayer. In a few days, on Wednesday morning, I'll be on the way to Kenya to hold a two-week meeting over there. So keep me in prayer that God will grant traveling mercies and use me. The report that we are getting is that the Bible workers and the health medical missionaries that are coming from Tennessee, they're already on the ground. And so far, they're having about 100 people already ready to being prepared, if you will, for the word of the Lord, ready for Bible studies and ready really to be baptized. So let's keep that in prayer that many more will come, and the Lord will work mightily. Let us pray. Father in heaven, What a joy to come into your house this morning. I am a broken man. I hurt everywhere and I hurt within. But Jesus is my strength in this time of weakness. So be thou my helper, O Christ. Shine in me, shine through me, and shine in this place. Father, hide me behind Calvary's cross. Hide me that man will not be seen but Christ Jesus. May he alone be glorified, and may our hearts be enriched. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so, we are going to be talking here about the mystery of agape, the mystery of agape. And as many of you know, or a lot of you should know this by now, I do use a lot of scripture, and most of it is on the slides, and some of it you have to get to your Bibles, but indulge me as we study the Word of God this morning. And I know Pastor Doe, I know how he preaches, so I know that I'm not doing a strange thing, you know, so so we're going to the Word of God today as always. So how many of you, if I were to ask, well, I'm not going to ask for a show of hand, but how many of you, think of it in your heart, and answer in your heart, have used the gifts and the abilities God has given you for selfish reasons, or even to hurt people, even to hurt others? Yes? I think I would put my hand up. I'm guilty as charged, because I think if I were to ask for a show of hands, I would hope and pray that maybe every hand would go up. But we do have some saints in here who have already gone to heaven, and some of us are still struggling. But I know that we all, by his grace, are pressing on the upward way. So this morning we're going to be talking for some time about how, you know, God's gift, this gift of agape. John says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, John could not think of any other way to express who God is but to say that God is love. Can somebody say amen? And so Paul gives us some definitions here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We all know this chapter. Many of us use this chapter for our weddings. I did for mine. And thank you. Many of you know my wife and children, and they are here with me today. They don't always have not able to come with me sometimes when I speak, but thank God whenever they come with me. But the Word of God, this is really speaking about God, not us. We don't have, this takes a miracle to happen to us. And you know, the English word really has no, the English language has no word for the that translates into agape. What we know in English as love is totally just not even close to the word agape. In fact, it is in many ways the opposite of what agape is. But Paul tells us that love suffers long, because agape is love. That's what it means, the Greek word. It suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, thank God, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things. Yes, love does believe all things, even when it seems like a lost case, right? Love hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. If there's any of you here this morning who thinks that you have failed, well, I would recommend to you Jesus, because he hopes all things, endures all things, and he never fails you. And the word says, and now abides faith, hope, and love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And also we get in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God. That phrase is a powerful phrase. It is so deep with meaning that you could write volumes on those two words. But God, who is what? Rich in mercy. Because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved. Here's another one that Paul gives us. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, and to know the love of God, which what? Which passeth knowledge. How do you know something which passeth knowledge? But then you have to know God. You have to have a relationship with him. You have to be one and one with him, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And so to explore our conversation this morning, it is a conversation. I like amens, it's fine. You know, I know Pastor Doe likes amens himself. And so we're going to look at the story of David and Absalom. How many of you know the story of David and Absalom in the Bible? Yes. So it's a familiar story. And we're going to delve into that a bit today. In the book of Samuel, chapter 14 and verse 25, we read about Absalom. Now in all Israel, there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for what? For his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. Now, how many of you could raise your hand and say, this is descriptive of you? I mean, there are many fine people out there, women and men, right? I mean, you look at them, they just look absolutely just easy on the eyes. And I always say that my wife, everybody comes second to her. She's easy on the eyes for me, okay? And I praise God for that. But how many of you know that, you know, there's always something that looks a little bit off? Maybe the ears are just like mine, a little bit too big. Maybe the teeth is a little bit crooked. Yes? And men don't really care about this much, but for some women, they're very conscious about their feet. They would let you see their smiling face. They would not let you see their feet. Because maybe it's a little bit not the way they would like it. And young women, because of media right now, are getting into a depression and all kinds of things because of the way they look, which looks perfectly fine, but they don't like it because they're looking at these models, so-called, who undergo plastic surgery of all types, and these young girls feel like they have to look like these women. But Absalom was known for his good. There was no blemish. I mean, the man was a perfect specimen of beauty. And when he cut the hair of his head at the end of every year, he cut it because it was too heavy on him. I mean, this man, because the hair was also, in those days, a sign of beauty. So everything about the man was correct. And it weighed 200 shekels when he cut it. And so here is Absalom now beginning to use this beauty that God has given him for something which was absolutely ugly. So we read in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And by the way, chapter 15 to chapter 19 of 2 Samuel really tells us about Absalom's rebellion, if you will, against his father. So if you want to take time to read chapters 15 to 19 when you go home to get a bigger picture. So we read here in this chapter. Now, I said chapter 2 to 6, but on the slide I have starting from verse 3, because I do want you to look at, in your Bibles, to look at verse 2. Let's start there from verse 2. Turn to your Bibles and read with me. The Bible says, now Absalom would rise early. Would rise when? Early, and stand beside the way to the gate. So it was, whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision, that Absalom would say to him, would call to him and say, what city are you from? And he would say, your servant is from such and such a tribe of Israel. That's Absalom's introduction to everyone of himself. Verse 3 says, then Absalom would say to him, to this one, look, your case is good and right, but there is no deputy of the king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, all that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who had any lawsuit or cause would come to me, that I would give him justice. Absalom was now trying to impress upon the people that his father was too busy, didn't have time for the people. And so he's saying to them, now, man, I wish I were a judge in this land. I would make time for everybody, and I would give them justice. And so it was, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, that he would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. So imagine the picture like this, the scene like this. So when Absalom would have charmed them with his charisma, with his very good PR skills, right? And so they are now going to bow to this man because he's a prince. And Absalom would just catch them by the hand. And rather than them bow, he would catch them by the hand, take them, and kiss them on the cheek. Would you rather bow to somebody or have somebody just take you and give you a kiss? It's more welcoming, right? It's more like, wow, and for the ladies, those guys who came with their wives, I mean, seeing this specimen of humanity that doesn't exist anywhere else, he looks so beautiful, and the husbands are standing, let's go, and the ladies are like, you know, all melting away, you know, and the husbands are like, come. And so Absalom, the Bible says, stole the hearts of the men or the people of Israel, if you will. And so this is my friend, someone we know did this in heaven. Does that sound familiar? Man, he was perfect. I mean, this being was just the thing to behold. And yet and still, something happened to him that he began to cause problems in heaven. Man, if only I were God. If only I, what he does, I could do better. And cause commotion in the very realms of heaven. And so we look at Absalom's weakness. Because, friends, remember that sometimes our blessings could be problems for us. Excuse me, as I just... Our blessings could be problems for us as we consider how we use them. And so Absalom was good looking. Check. His speech was smooth. Check. He was crafty. Check. He failed to understand the malignity of sin. And that is the problem. And he has a check there too. And his father's popularity was at the lowest place. Because, you see, if you know the story of Absalom and his father, they did not have a very good relationship because of some family problem that happened in the past. There is a backstory. And some of you know the story. If you don't know it, take time to read it. We're not going to get into that tonight, this morning. So Absalom was more winning the hearts of the people because of the way he had handled that situation in the past, and also because of his beauty. But he also had a low EQ. He was very smart. I mean, the man was smart, but his EQ was in the dust. The man had an over-exaggerated sense of himself. And he would not forgive his father for what his father had done to him. And he would let his emotions get the best of him. And so we read in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verses 7 to 12. And again, keep your Bibles open, because right here we have verses 12 and on. But we're going to look at verse 7 and onward. 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 7. The word of God says, now it came to pass after 40 years that Absalom said to the king, Please let me go to Hebron and pay the vows which I made to the Lord. Now, this was when he was away from his father because of the family trouble. So for a number of years, he was away from his father. And verse 8 says, for your servant took a vow while I dwelt at Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord indeed brings me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. And the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom, listen, Absalom lied to his father that he was going to worship. But here is verse 10. He says, he sent spies throughout all Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom reigns in Hebron. And with Absalom went 200 men invited from Jerusalem, and they went along innocently and did not know anything. These men thought they were going with him to go worship, like he told his father. They had no idea that he had some plans. And verse 12 tells us on the slide, then Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor. Whose counselor? David, his father's counselor, from his city, from Gilo, while he offered sacrifices. So Ahithophel was offering sacrifices like he's supposed to do, and Absalom sent for him. And the Bible says, and the conspiracy grew strong. For the people with Absalom continually increased in number. You may have heard people make a comment that people held Ahithophel counsel against them. This is where this comes from. Now a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are with who? With Absalom. So David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee, or we shall not escape from Absalom. Make haste to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring what? Disaster upon us, and strike the city with the edge of the sword. Now this is the king. The king is afraid of his son who is a prince. The thing is amazing. The next verse says, so David, verse 30, so David went up by the ascent of the Mount of Olives and what? And wept as he went up. And he had his head covered and went barefoot. And all the people who were with him covered their heads and went up weeping as they went up. David had no idea all the while that this man was plotting against him. How many of you cry for your children? How many of you desire your children? Sometimes they're not trying to kill you or whatever, but what they're doing just pains you and hurts you, and you spend nights on your knees crying for them. And so, my friends, David here is crying. I don't think he was crying for his kingdom. I believe he was crying for his son. And so David collects himself, he gets himself together, and he regroups. Verse 24 tells us of chapter 17. Then David went to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. Now notice this. David is the king, but all the men of Israel are with who? Absalom. Now David does have a few men with him. He has his loyal people. You know, you always have some loyal ones. And the Bible tells us now, we're going to jump over to chapter 18 and verse 5. David regroups, and now he is giving his own smaller military an order. We are going to go take care of this rebellion. So we read here in chapter 18, verse 5. Now the king commanded Joab was his nephew, Abishai, who was Joab's brother, and Ittai, who was a friend, saying, deal what? Gently for my sake with young man Absalom. And how many people heard him? All the people heard when the king gave all the captains orders concerning who? Concerning Absalom. Listen, listen. This man is a scoundrel. I mean, this man wants to take his father down and kill him and take over the kingdom. And what would David tell the military going to fight and try to take down this rebellion? Tells them to deal gently, kindly, safely. In other words, if you read some translations, it actually says, make sure my son comes back. Are you kidding me? These men whom Absalom is going to try to kill, while Absalom is trying to kill them, they are supposed to be protecting him. Hello? And so, the Bible says, in verse 6, so the people went out into the field of battle against Israel, and the battle was where? In the woods of Ephraim. For the people of Israel were overthrown there before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of how many? 20,000 took place there that day. For the battle there were scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods devoured more people that day than the sword. David, you remember when David used to run from Saul when Saul was king? They were hiding in the woods. That's where David was hiding with his men throughout all that time. David's men understood, they knew the terrain, they knew the landscape, they knew where the pitfalls were, where the cliffs were, where the potential for landslides was. They knew all the terrain very well. And so the men knew how to find their way around the woods. But Absalom's men did not. And so the woods killed more men in that war than the sword. Because they had no idea. They would just be going like, bam, they're done, they're gone. The woods was doing the job for David and his men. And so now the next verse tells us, if I could just get my slides, here you go. And 2 Samuel 18, verse 9 tells us, during the battle, Absalom happened to come upon some of David's men. He tried to escape on his mule, but as he rode beneath the thick branches, a great tree, his hair caught in the tree. That's it. The woods was doing the job for David and his men. But Absalom had no idea that his father had given orders that he should not get hurt. In fact, those men had taken a vow to guarantee that Absalom would be safe. And yet and still he had no idea. So he was running away from them, and the woods caught him. A great tree caught him. You remember the year? Remember the here? Remember again when we use the blessings and gifts and abilities God has given us for the good of the devil and not to serve God, it will be our downfall. It will be our downfall. And so one of David's men saw what had happened and told Joab, I saw Absalom dangling from a great tree. Listen to this, verse 11. What? Joab demanded, you saw him there and didn't kill him? Are you out of your mind? I would have rewarded you with 10 pieces of silver and a hero's belt. My goodness, Joab. Listen, that man, that soldier, Look at his response in verse 12. I would not kill the king's son for even 1,000 pieces of silver. The man replied, we what? We all heard the king say to you and Abishai and Ittai, for my sake, please spare young Absalom. And if I had betrayed the king by killing his son, the king would what? Nothing gets past David except for Absalom's trickery on him. David would have heard. Somebody would have told David. And the soldier said, you yourself will be the first one to abandon me. I mean, with friends like these, who needs enemies? And so Absalom was mad. He was furious. He said, enough of this nonsense, man. You are talking foolishness. And he gets three daggers, or three spears, actually is the word, three spears, and plunged them into Absalom's heart as he dangled, still what? Alive. Did Joab have an opportunity to rethink his strategy and save the young man according to the king's demands? Yes. But no, he thrust the spears in him while he was hanging in the great tree. Oh, friends, Absalom was hanging in that great tree by his own doing. He was hanging there because of his own sin. There's somebody who hung on the tree, my friends. Someone hung on the tree not for his own sins, but for the sins of others. And so, as we consider that thought, we'll continue our story. And so the battlefield report now is coming back to David in 2 Samuel 18, 24 to 32. The Bible says, now David was sitting between the two gates. Then the watchman cried out and told the king, and the king said, if he is alone, there is news in his mouth. So let me just give you the quick story here. So two men left to go and give a report from Joab to David, to the king, to tell David how the battle went. Yes? And so the watchman who was watching to see who was coming saw the first man coming with news. And here's what David says. So the watchman said, I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and comes with what? Good news. How many of you like good news when you're having all bad news? How many of you are having bad news right now? The whole world is having bad news. How many of you have some good news to give to the world? Because all we hear nowadays is bad news. But we knew, or we should have known as Adventists, that the bad news was sure to come. And we have the answer for the bad news. And many of us are sitting on it because maybe we ourselves have not believed it. David says he comes with good news. And you could imagine the good news David was looking for. We'll get to that shortly. Ahimaaz called and said, all is well. Blessed be the Lord your God who has delivered up the men who raised their hands against my Lord, the king. Now I want us to go to our Bibles again and pick up verse 29. Pick up verse 29. Listen to what happens here. And the king said, can somebody read for me what the king said in your Bibles? 18:29. Is the young man Absalom saved? Listen. David is not asking, is my throne secure? Did we win the battle? Did we quell the rebellion? No. All he cares about is my son, the young man, Absalom, safe. Are you kidding me? I mean, are you serious, David? This man is killing us, and if you had a way, he would kill you. And all you care about is Absalom? And this man, if you continue to read, this man did not have an answer for David. So David says, okay, stand over there. And the next man comes, the Cushite. And the Cushite, the first thing David asked the Cushite, is the young man Absalom safe? My goodness, David, come on! What is your problem? What is your problem? God, why is Satan still alive and causing so much havoc? God, why is my neighbor still alive? He is always throwing stuff into my yard over the fence. He causes me all kinds of problems. Why don't you take him out? Is the young man Absalom safe? And what was the Cushite's response? Listen, listen, listen. The Cushite is smart. Because the Cushite knows he has to package this response in such a way that it doesn't cause David to just throw his spear at him. And the Cushite said, may the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise against you to do harm be like that young man. Man, talk about a diplomatic response. And David's heart was broken. Friends, David loved his son. Sometimes we lose things that we love so much. Some of those things are not good for us. But we know that for our children, no matter how bad they have been or are, we love them with a love that is so, it is so intense, so deep. Who gave us that type of love? It is God. You know, many times we lose things. We have bad news. Even with our health, our lifestyle, all these things, it's all bad news. But there's good news in Christ. And we at New Start, we give good news to people all the time. Not because we are the ones, but because of the work God is doing there. We see people come with bad news, and we see them live with good news. And I'm not talking not just about the physical thing, the physical restoration. I'm talking about they find the one who is the one that heals, the Prince of Peace, the healer, the great physician, the one who makes all things well. And they are restored. And so, here's what now we read here in 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. Then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate. And what did he do? He wept. And as he went, he thus said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I have died in your place, my son, my son. Oh, friends, David is demonstrating here something about God. This is why God said over there in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 14. The Lord seeks for a man. The Lord seeks for a woman after his own heart. Because God understands. It is like God is saying, oh, Lucifer, oh, Lucifer. Lucifer, my son, my son. How could you? How could you? Where did this come from? Oh, Lucifer. My son, my son. How many of you have lamented? How many of you have lamented? Oh, my friends. If you haven't lamented yet, you have not lived. I remember when I lost my mother. I spoke to my mother today, and just, you know, on a Sunday, and she was back home in West Africa, Sierra Leone. And then she got sick midweek on a Wednesday. She got to the hospital, and they called me up, and I said, this is not good. My mother was has never been in the hospital. She was 73. I was sick to my stomach. I could not eat for days. And I kept trying to call. Sometimes the connection is bad. You can't get through. And that Sunday, that following Sunday, a week from the last time I spoke with my mother, I was driving to go meet with my the church members in Minneapolis. I was living in Minnesota at the time. And as I was driving on the I-35, I have been trying to call. I've been trying to call the hospital. I've been trying to call my sister's phone. And finally, I was able to get through. And the word was, my mother just took her last breath. Oh, friends, call me crazy. In the middle of I-35, a major highway for those of you who know, I stopped my car. I got out of my car, and I began to walk up and down that highway, cars zooming right past me, boom, boom, boom. And I'm screaming, and barking, and crying, mourning, like you have never seen. Some of you may have experienced that. And that was in 2006. And that hurt remains. How many of you have lamented? Here is what God tells us in Ezekiel chapter 28. And we're going to consider from verse 11. We're not going to read all of the verses, but we're going to consider a few verses here. Verse 11, Ezekiel 28. It says here, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, Ezekiel, my prophet, take up a what? Lamentation for the king of Tyre. Say to him, thus says the Lord God, you wear the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, and diamond, beryl, and onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in all your ways from the day you were created till that wicked thing, iniquity, was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, the man was trading truth for lies, you became filled with violence within you and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, a covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. Oh, friends, this is the wickedness that started this whole downward trend. My friends, to lament is a painful thing. And God lamented and still laments for Lucifer, his angel, that he had created. And so, verse 15 says, he was perfect in all his ways till that wicked thing, iniquity, was found in him. Let us look at a comparison here, a man after God's own heart. David understood some things that God understands. David had a son who died on a tree. And you could look at that scripture from Deuteronomy about the soul. If a man is hung on a tree and dies, he is a cursed man, the Bible tells us. God had a son who died on a tree. The only difference between that son and Absalom is that man Jesus did not die for his own sins. Yet he became a curse for you and for me. For our sins, he took our curse. David had a son whose heart was pierced by a spear. God had a son whose heart was pierced by a spear. David's son died trying to take his father's throne down. God's son died to lift his father's throne up. David understood the dying of a prince. God understands the dying of the Prince of Peace. Oh, friends, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for himself. For it is written, cursed is everyone and anyone who is hung on the tree. You don't have to receive the curse anymore. The curse has been taken. You have been set free. Receive your freedom in Christ. The Bible, we read here from Present Truth, United Kingdom. The king after God's heart is a shepherd. David was a shepherd, so he understood the heart of God. For God, the King of Kings, is a shepherd. The subjects of his kingdom are subjects indeed, voluntarily subject to him in thought as well as in action. God is of right king over all, but he will not by force compel anyone to be subject to him. He cannot, because it would be subversive of his own government, which is peace and love. He wins back rebellious men by what? By love. But when men despise and resist love, he delivers them up to the sword as those who will not that he shall reign over them. Lucifer lost. He has been cast out. But you and I have a chance still. Grace abounding to the chief of sinners. I hope that's you. I hope that's me. Romans chapter 5. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, some will dare to die but God. Have mercy. But God demonstrates his own love. Not any other love, not your love, not my love, but God's own love towards us. In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him, because he took your curse for you. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. But where sin, verse 20, where sin abounded, what? Grace. The Bible does not say that grace more abounds. The Bible is beautiful. God is beautiful. God doesn't waste words. Grace much more abounds. Ah, the much more abounding grace of God. So that where sin has reigned unto death, even so might the more abounding grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, my Lord. My friends, grace will pursue the fastest running sinner and catch up with him and loosen him and set him free from the chains that bind. When sin becomes so rampant in the world and it becomes so senseless, the grace of God becomes incomprehensible because the grace of God would not let go. Goodness and mercy pursues the man, pursues the woman, till he would catch up with him and set him free and make him free. Oh, friends, we are sin abound. The beloved enemy, Lucifer, Absalom, Judas. How about you? How about me? My friends, you defile your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading. And you see how many I's are there? I, and the word iniquity? Always about me. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 7, the carnal mind, the what? The carnal mind, this wicked mind we have, this mind that we have received from the devil, the mind is enmity. Some of your Bibles may say that the carnal mind is at enmity with God. The Bible, when you go back to the original, it doesn't say that. The original says that the carnal mind, the thing itself, is at enmity with God. The carnal mind is enmity with God. It is so wicked that God cannot fix the thing. He has to change it and give you a new heart. But here's what we have here. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Christ says, I have come. You are the thief. I am the thief. Lucifer is the thief. Absalom is the thief. And we come, primarily Satan comes to kill us, to steal and to destroy. But we also act like him. But Christ has come to set us free. To have life and to give us life and life more abundantly. That is the gift that he offers you, that he offers me. You don't have to live here the same way. It doesn't matter what somebody has done to you. The gift of God and the grace of God. God, love, bears all things, hopes all things, believes all things. Love never fails. Let the love of God take possession of your heart and mind today and set you free and make you free. For whom the Son sets free, my friends, whom the Son makes free, I like to say, not just set free, but make free, is free indeed. And so, as we wind this thing down now, we're going to land this plane. Our scripture reading from what we read today. Satan demonstrated the lowest IQ. The lowest IQ, full of himself. And wanting to hurt God. But here is how God answers him. Because with us, with humanity, we like to take vengeance. We like to get back at people. But the highest IQ, highest EQ is demonstrated in agape. The Bible says, let the wicked man, but call upon him while he is near as you seek him. And when you seek him, recognize that you're not trying to find God. God has come to you. He just wants to get your attention. Let him return repentance, my friends, to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, and my ways higher than your ways, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Stop comparing the way you love with the way God's love. Stop thinking that God loves like you love or I love. He doesn't. God loves in a way that doesn't make sense to you and me. And we should thank God for that. You know how I know that? Because Satan is still alive. And if he's still alive, because God loves Satan still. You and I hate Satan. And we should rightly do so. But the Creator, who created the angel, the good angel, he would always love. He would always love him. Listen, if you today are in a place where you have not received Christ in your heart and let go of the wickedness that is in the heart, we need to let it go because we do not want God to lament over us. We don't want to break God's heart like that. God will still lament because not all men will receive him. But you and I could at least listen to that a little bit more for God. By the way we respond to him. We read here quickly. Our little world is the lesson book of the universe. God's wonderful purpose of grace, the mystery of redeeming love, is the theme into which angels desire to look. And it will be their study throughout the ceaseless ages. Both the redeemed and the unfallen beings will find in the what? In the cross of Christ. For him to get on that cross, he had to become from God to man, a little baby in his mother's womb, and then became sin for you and me. It will be their science and their song. It will be seen that the glory shining in the face of Jesus is the glory of self-sacrificing love. It is in the light from Calvary. It will be seen that the law of self-renouncing love is the law of life for earth and for heaven. That the love that seeks not her own has its source in the heart of God. And that in the meek and lowly one is manifested the character of him who dwells in light, which no man can approach unless you dwell in love. Oh, friends, I think we have one more slide. The mystery of the cross. We're talking about the mystery of agape. The mystery of the cross explains all other mysteries in the light that streams from Calvary. The attributes of God, which had filled us with fear and awe, appear beautiful and attractive. Oh, friends, mercy, tenderness, and parental love are seen to blend with holiness, justice, and power. While we behold the majesty of his throne, high and lifted up, we see his character in its glorious manifestations and comprehend as never before the significance of that enduring title, our Father. How many of you love your fathers? How many of you think your fathers love you? And I know sometimes it's rough. But I dare say that the love of God the Father, he wants you to not just know him as God, but to know him as your loving Father. And he loves you, and you could come to him and surrender all to him, lay it all bare to him, because he already knows it anyway. And he doesn't care. He just wants them. And he wants to make you free. Our last slide. Romans 2, verse 4, do not despise the riches of the goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering of God. Do not despise it. How long is long-suffering? How long? The width, the breadth, the height, the depth of it, and to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge. Don't despise it. Make it lead you to repentance. Because he wills that no man should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. Satan has lost his chance. And God laments over that consistently. God would lament over that while we are in heaven after he has wiped away all our tears and we have forgotten all the bad stuff and all the evil. God will still be lamenting over his beautiful angels that he lost and over the souls that he made in his likeness, who had rejected him. Would you be one of those? Would I be? Oh, God forbid, after I have preached the gospel, that I myself be a castaway. Now, this is our last slide for sure. Agape conquers all, because we have to see where the victory is, yes? We have to receive the victory for ourselves. The great controversy is ended. Sin and sinners are no more. Do you think God is happy about that? No. The entire universe is clean. One pulse of harmony and gladness beats through the vast creation. From him who created all, flow life and light and gladness throughout the realms of illimitable space. From the minutest atom to the greatest worlds, all things animate and inanimate declare, my friends, in their unshadowed beauty and perfect joy. What do they declare? God is love. Oh, friends. God is love. don't leave this place if you haven't received him yet. Do not leave this place without him. You cannot face battles on your own. You're fighting a losing battle. You're fighting a losing battle. He welcomes you. Let it go! Let it go. Whatever it is, let it go! His arms are wide open. Every kingdom will fall because every kingdom operates and rules in a state of tyranny. The despots of this world, they will fall. Every kingdom, every human devising, every human invention will fail and will fall. But that stone that knocks down that image, it will stand and it would reign forevermore. Because that kingdom, that stone is built and founded on a love that seeks not her own. Every other kingdom seeks her own. I don't care how they love, or how you love, or how I love. It will fail because the motivation is wrong. This is going to be our closing song. And I have it on the screen because it's not in the hymn book. I don't know why it's not there. It should be there. It's a beautiful song. You all know the song. But I just want to just look at the verses. As you sing it, just think of this hymn that was that Frederick Lehman back in 1917 blessed us with as the Holy Spirit led him to write this song. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty peer bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from their sin. Oh, when hoary time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on the rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love is sure, shall still endure, all measureless and strong, redeeming grace from Adam's race. The saints and angels song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and where the skies of parchment made, where every stall on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God, my friends, above will dry the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Shall we sing?